Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're just so glad you've joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. It's good to be with you again this weekend. Do you remember last Wednesday when we were in choir practice, the director kept stopping us, and she kept pointing out one of the bass singers? He was too loud. And when this whole thing was happening, you know, I was standing there and I'm thinking to myself, is she talking to me? Is this me she's picking on? And honestly, it was making me a little paranoid.
Did you think it was you really at the time?
Well, no. Of course it could have been me.
I kind of looked over at you as I remember. I was looking at you and yeah. I was going, is it you? Is it you? And you were giving me this no kind of look and doing that.
I even checked with one of the sopranos next door. I said, can you listen to make sure that I'm okay? And she turned around and gave me the thumbs up. She said, you're doing well.
So you were worried about it.
It did make me worried. A little paranoid about it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing to think about today because we're going to talk about that.
Well, let me ask you this. How many times have you said to someone, well, you're just paranoid. You're being paranoid.
Actually, I think I've said that to you a lot of times.
That's true.
And it wasn't just on choir night. That's why I looked at you because
right.
I was like, you're always still asking me that.
Right.
You're
I'm always second guessing myself. And I know you're teasing me, but I do have my moments. That's for sure. But isn't it different than just that type of behavior than being labeled a paranoid person?
It is. It is. I'm giving you a hard time. And, you know, sometimes you can tell by looking at people that they feel somewhat paranoid just by the way they look. Have you ever noticed that?
Right. Yeah.
You say something, they kind of pull back.
Is it the shifty eyes thing?
I don't know. That's part of it. But a lot of us have moments like you were talking about where we do get a little paranoid. And sometimes it comes up because maybe we do feel guilty about something or we're worried about something. But the kind of paranoia that we're going to talk about on today's show is the kind that really makes relationships difficult.
Right. And then there's the people who see a conspiracy behind everything, and they're constantly feeling suspicious of other people. Is this what we're talking about today, someone who is truly paranoid in that way?
Yeah, we're going to go for the pattern, the persistent person who says, you know what, I'm always suspicious. I'm feeling a little hostile sometimes. I have to say, I have a relative like this. I hope he's not listening. But he always sees a conspiracy behind everything, especially when the elections were going on and all these things were happening. A lot of times when people are feeling paranoid, they express it by being argumentative. They might complain, or sometimes they even might just kind of stay away because they're watching and they're nervous about what they're seeing. A lot of times they have these feelings of being anxious, or they have thoughts about somebody's trying to persecute me, or there's a threat to me, or there's, like we talked about, some kind of conspiracy going on here.
Right.
In the really severe cases, Chris, and we don't see this that often, but really severe cases of paranoia, people can actually get delusional, where they get out of kind of touch with reality and they get so fixated on these ideas that somebody's trying to hurt them or come after them. And no matter what you say, when someone's in that deep state, you can give them all kinds of information and it doesn't take them out of that. So that's somebody who has what we call a paranoid personality disorder. And it doesn't matter what you say, they're always going to believe that somehow people are trying to do something to them or they're trying to be somewhat malevolent to them.
You know, I can think of a lot of famous people, Dr. Linda, who have suffered from paranoia. Joseph Stalin's one of them, the former Secretary General of Russia during the Russian Revolution in the early 1900s, exhibited all of the characteristics of a person who had paranoid personality disorder. He didn't trust anyone around him, even his closest friends and allies, and he overanalyzed and became very paranoid over any interactions or conversations. Nobody could oppose his ideas and suggestions.
Yeah, he wasn't a very nice man.
No,
he created
a
lot of problems. So it does kind of make sense, doesn't it, that maybe that level of mistrust that he had for people would have influenced what he did. You know, in more recent times, if we think about someone like Saddam Hussein, you know, the former president of Iraq, and I would like to say he's a dictator because he was, but he had this very unusual and erratic behavior that caused a lot of problems around him, too. According to a lot of the reports I read, he doubted all of his companions, his family members, and everyone around him. He constantly felt like he was in danger of being exploited. So what happened, this caused him to be very angry quickly. He made a lot of irrational decisions. His reputation was very, very important to him, and he firmly believed that the entire world was trying to ruin it. So we're not trying to do armchair psychology here, but it does sound like a lot of the characteristics of people who suffer with paranoia.
Right. Well, now we can bring it home. And I don't think we should put Richard Nixon in the same room with
Saddam Hussein or Joseph Stalin. I agree with you. Right. He was one of our presidents.
Right. He was the 37th president, actually. And some psychologists feel that based on his behavior and characteristics as a person, he was an example of a person with paranoia. Mm. He was unable to listen to the other side of things, and he was convinced that people were out to get him.
So maybe he had some of those paranoid traits in there. So if we think about people we know, we might think, you know, this person does tend towards that paranoia. It definitely, when you have paranoia, it definitely complicates relationships. And if you're listening today and you're thinking, I recognize, you know, some of those qualities when you're talking about them with other people, we'll even find paranoia in the church, Chris. There are people that are paranoid, and it's much harder to walk out your Christianity when you're constantly wondering if people are out to get you or they're trying to do something to you. And if you're constantly in that mode, what happens is you get in a lot of conflict with people, you remain upset, and then you can take offense easily, relationships get broken, and emotions just run hot. There was a young woman that I was talking to, and she was late for a bunch of meetings. And clearly she has some kind of problem because she kept showing up late all the time. So what happened is I decided, oh, I need to talk to her about this behavior. When I tried to talk to her and I mentioned that, you know, you're repeatedly late for our meetings, her reaction went way beyond the typical excuse giving. Instead of just kind of calmly sort of arguing with me or disagreeing with me, she became really, really angry. And she said bizarre and paranoid things about how I felt towards her, things that were not true at all. But she was saying all these things to me. And when somebody has that type of really intense reaction and they blow things way out of proportion and their emotions are so intense, that's a hint that somebody might have paranoia.
I've had some of those same experiences with a few people. I might bring up a problem and they go off and get really paranoid and very upset. I don't really know what is going on inside of them to make them act that way. So, but when we return, more about what makes someone paranoid and how do we deal with it right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But... a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Find out what your conflict style is. Click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Just a reminder that you can follow our show on Instagram at Dr. Linda Mental and on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps and Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker.
I think you need to send me a few more pictures for Instagram. We're not getting a lot of really fun pictures from you.
What would you like a picture of?
I don't know, just something crazy. You could show us being paranoid this week. Do you have an instance you could click on and show us?
What's funny is in the office during the day, people will come in and say, hey Chris, can we da-da-da? And I'll say things like, well, what's that supposed to mean? And it messes with their minds because they think I'm offended about it, but I'm not. I just want to see how people,
you're playing with
people
them.
Act, right? And so people who don't know me very well, I'll do that too. And they think, oh, wow, did I say something to make him mad? And then I've had other office workers come to me and say, hey, so-and-so is really worried about what they said to you. What did they say? They didn't say anything. I was just messing with their minds.
So you're a drama person at work. Hey, I just noticed that our producer was taking pictures of you when you were talking. Don't get paranoid.
I'm in a plain white T-shirt. I will feel paranoid about that. Well, Dr. Linda, before the break, we just touched on the beginning of to understand What makes a person paranoid? Let's talk more about that.
Well, honestly, Chris, researchers really don't know. Isn't that interesting? We really don't know exactly what happens to make someone develop, especially mm-hmm. that paranoid personality disorder that we talked about. There are a lot of theories, and all of those theories involve a bunch of factors.
Right.
So we do talk about the biology and the genetic factors that people have. You know, so that we are predisposed by our biology to a lot of different types of physical illnesses and also mental health issues. Mm-hmm. There's also social factors. So how a person interacts with their early development with their family and their friends when they're growing up and then other kids. So you got the biological, you've got the social factors, and then there are the internal factors, the psychological things that people have that they're uniquely given, their personality, their temperament. And all of this is sort of shaped by the environment and the experiences that people have. And a lot of people have trouble with coping skills when they get under stress.
Right.
So all of this suggests that there's not just one thing that goes into making somebody paranoid. Rather, it's a combination of a bunch of things. If a person has this personality disorder, research suggests that there is a slightly increased risk for this disorder to be passed on to their children.
So what do we look for to determine when someone is more than just occasionally paranoid, like we've talked about, but seems to have this type of personality?
Yeah, the paranoid person is somebody who we call it in psychology, we say pervasive, or it's just part of them. It's ingrained. It's part of the pattern. Mm-hmm. That person lacks trust. That's really the kind of key issue in this, is they lack trust in other people. And because of this, they're generally difficult to get along with, because the person in close relationships, if you're not trusting that person, you're going to have a hard time. And then what happens is the person becomes hypervigilant. You know, they're looking around. They're looking for potential threats or something bad is going to happen. They act very guarded in their behavior, secretive, sometimes even devious. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they can look very kind of cold to people around them, and it almost feels like when you're in the relationship with someone who has these paranoid tendencies that they actually seem to be at a loss for showing you some kind of tender feelings. So this, think about it, this combative and suspicious nature that a person may have a lot of times can lead to them being hostile in their responses to other. And then what happens, it confirms then, because other people don't react well, mm-hmm. it just confirms that, see,
right.
see, they are coming after mm-hmm. me.
A vicious circle.
It is.
And so what would you look for specifically if you were trying to determine a family member or coworker was paranoid?
Well, the first thing is that suspiciousness. You know, there's no basis for it. You can't think mm-hmm. of anything that would make that person suspicious. And so they're always suspecting things like exploiting, they're exploiting me, they're trying to harm me, they're trying to deceive me.
Is this everything? I mean,
do they act
like this all day?
No, but it's a feeling that they're having, a thought that they're having in their head constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like you and I, if we're just kind of sitting here and we don't have tendencies towards paranoia, we would just be having a conversation. But if one of us was, then mm-hmm. we might go, what is he thinking?
Right.
Does he really like me in this relationship? Is he really trying to make me sound bad on the radio? We'd start having these kind of mm-hmm. suspicious thoughts.
Are you looking at the stain on my shirt?
Yeah. That isn't paranoia. That's real. And then there's this feeling of just being preoccupied with doubts mm-hmm. about the loyalty or trustworthiness of friends or associates. That's what you were talking about with
right.
Joseph Stalin. And I mentioned about Saddam. They just don't trust the people around them. They're just preoccupied with those doubting thoughts. So that's the second one. Another one is that because of that, they're reluctant to confide in people
right.
because they fear that they're somehow going to use that information against me if I tell them stuff. And then a lot of times they read into things that you do or they say, they think there's something about what you just said that you really weren't being upfront with, and there must be something bad about
that. And that's where they may combatively say, well, what was that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Yeah, and they're constantly thinking that in their mm-hmm. head. And then, unfortunately, when you have that kind of mistrust that you're walking around with, mm-hmm. you do bear a grudge. And it's really hard for those people to forgive insults and injuries and slights, because they're just sitting there ready to have something be offended. Mm-hmm. And then there's another characteristic is that they perceive that when you're when you're criticizing or you're giving feedback or you're saying something, that somehow it's an attack on their character or their reputation. And so they, that, again, it was when you were reading that description of some of the historical people, that they didn't want their reputation to be ruined. And that was so important to them. And then they get angry if you do that. So there's a lot of this doubt, mistrust, I'm ready to be offended and hurt, I'm going to be injured, that happens in those relationships.
Sounds like paranoia makes intimacy tough because the person stays rather isolated. They've got a wall around them. There's so much distrust that they won't even, they just don't want to get close.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what we hear? It's kind of what we're hearing from this conversation is the distrust and the doubt, which is so pervasive. Here's an example. Someone with paranoia may walk into a restaurant, notice that somebody's glancing at her, and be convinced that the person is stalking her. That's what kind of happens with paranoid people. Whereas you and I, we might see someone glance at us. We wouldn't think twice about it if we don't have paranoia.
Interesting.
People with paranoia constantly testing your loyalty. They're afraid to confide. They're fearing the information that they tell you is going to be used against them. And they bear grudges and they feel attacked in their character. That's a real good summary of what you look for.
Well, and then what happens is that people keep their distance, which just makes the paranoid person even more paranoid.
Right.
And you said that it takes a long time for the person to develop this type of personality. So this is pretty ingrained in someone. Give us a few tips on how to deal with someone who acts like this.
Well, one of the best things is to work on establishing a relationship with the person so you can build some trust. Now, you have to be really patient with that because obviously trust is a problem, so it's going to take a long time to do that. And they're going to test you.
And we said that this is deeply ingrained in them, too, so they've spent plenty of time becoming paranoid, so you do have to be patient. And I thought trust was a big problem because the paranoid person has a long-standing suspicion and mistrust of others.
Well, it is. So what you have to do is win their trust. You have to win it over. Don't ask them just to trust you because they're not going to do that. Instead, it's really important if you're in a relationship with someone like that to do what you say, respond honestly, be true to your word. And because of that, it's going to take time for that person to see, okay, he was consistent. He did what he said he was going to do. And you need to be somewhat businesslike. If you get too warm and intimate with somebody, they get a little threatened by that. It feels too invasive. So, you know, you have to help the person see that trust isn't this all or nothing thing. That there are degrees of trust that you have to develop with somebody.
We know people let us down and don't always do things right. And you could get paranoid thinking the relationship is bad and wouldn't work because of that. What type of thinking would help this?
Well, if you're living or working with someone who has who's somewhat paranoid, admit it when you make mistakes, apologize to them, drop the issue. Don't try to get the person to talk in a lot of self-disclosure details because that just sort of revs up the paranoia. Just be honest about who you are and then just move on.
When someone is acting paranoid, the thing I want to do is challenge the person and try to convince them that there is nothing to be suspicious of. But I'm guessing that that usually makes the problem worse.
It does. It does make things worse. But you can help the person by expressing another point of view. And ask them to think of the way you see it. Just see if they can think of it a different way. If you can work with somebody that way, because if you're understanding that the core of their problem is that they think people are deceptive. So if you can help them understand you a little bit better and help them understand you don't want to attack them, then maybe you can make some progress with somebody like that.
Well, this is helpful advice. And if you're living or working with someone who is paranoid or has those tendencies. When we come back, we'll talk more about the spiritual issues involved on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And Dr. Linda, you've written a great blog on this weekend's topic of dealing with paranoia. And this can be found on the My Faith Radio page of our show. And we want to remind you that you can listen to this show or any of the archived programs on My Faith Radio as well. Back to our topic, Dr. Linda, it seems like the biggest challenge is that a paranoid person has so many distortions about himself and God.
Yeah, we tend to project a lot of what we feel about people onto God, don't we?
We do.
This is one of the ways that you can correct it, is to really spend time in the Word of God and have that person look at what the Bible actually says about how trustworthy God is, and then counsel that person from a Christian perspective. So when you know that God is trustworthy and that He is not out to get you, and that is really, but a lot of us in the church, a lot of times when we run into problems, Chris, we feel like sometimes that God is out to get us, don't we?
Well, yes, and I wanted to talk about this earlier in the show, but I knew we'd get to it during this last segment. It seems like someone who is suffering with paranoia may really have a crisis concerning their faith as well in God.
Yeah, and I think because of those early learning experiences where maybe you can't trust people or you have really bad experiences with other people, we do what we call project that onto God. A lot of us do that that don't have paranoia. And if we had bad experiences with a father, we might think that God the Father is going to be just like that. So really getting in the Word and understanding what the Bible says about who God is, the character of God, is very healing.
What is it about the persistent sense of personal rights a paranoid person has? It's as if they desperately need to protect themselves.
I know. And so, again, let's think about what the Scripture says about this. We really don't have any personal rights, do we?
No.
We don't deserve anything. But because of God's grace, we have this unmerited favor that God has given us. So the paranoid person, just like the rest of us, has to surrender to the grace of God and realize that he or she isn't do anything, but because of who God is and his favor, unmerited favor towards us, that he has us in the palm of his hand.
Right.
And we don't have to constantly worry that somehow God is out to get us.
Here's a side question. Does a paranoid person also exhibit the same issues that a narcissist would have?
There's a lot of similarity, because we did a show on narcissism. Do you remember? Yeah, it was a while back, but we had a lot of response to that show. And you do see some similarities between that. I think the difference is the narcissist is always feeling inadequate and is always worried about being kind of found out and failing, whereas the paranoid person tends to have more of that distrust and doubt and feeling like people are out to persecute him or her.
What led me to that question is rejection is another really tough area for a paranoid person. Their sensitivity to rejection is very high.
It is. It's sky high. And again, knowing that God says in his Word that he never abandons us, he never rejects us, he never leaves us, it really helps us with our growing understanding in terms of trusting God. So at the core of this, what are we talking about? We're talking about learning to trust in Jesus. I think that's a song, actually, learn to trust in Jesus. And if we believe that it's true that Jesus never rejects us and he doesn't leave us and he's not out to get us, then we can begin to relax a little bit in our spiritual relationship. And the hope is that that spiritual relationship with the Lord then will permeate our other relationships. But at the core of all this, you've really got to trust that God loves you and you can trust God. And I don't think you have to be paranoid, Chris, to have a struggle with that.
Right.
I think a lot of us have to go back in and constantly remind ourselves, what does the Word say about who God is and how his relationship with us works? And trust is one of those really important factors in any relationship.
I would imagine that this would also help with doubt, wondering if people are going to hurt or let you down, or if God is really working for your good.
Well, you know, people do let us down, and people are hurt. And I think I know from the psychology behind what makes a person paranoid is that they have experienced a lot of hurt and let down. So the key here is, again, not to look at other people to find our stability or our confidence, because we are going to have those relationships that occasionally hurt us.
Right.
Rather, we have to look at the one who never disappoints us and put our trust in him, not other people.
I think turning to the Word helps with an issue of perspective, because it corrects our suspicions of people, because it lays out how sin and evil affects all of us. And this helps explain why people without Christ are prone, or they're not prone to goodness.
That's right. And that's a really important point, because we live in a culture that says people are kind of prone to goodness.
Right.
And yet, when you think about the sin nature of man, we're very far off of being good people. And we make up all kinds of excuses for our bad behavior, but it is really our own woundedness and our sinful nature that people don't talk about too much in our culture today. That's what leads us a lot of times to treat each other poorly, and it does set up distrust in people. Again, so if we understand that we're all sinners and we all come short of the glory of God, all of us need a Savior.
So, Dr. Linda, after about a half an hour discussion on this topic of paranoia, we've come to the conclusion that it's not easy to correct.
It's not. And often people need professional help to deal with paranoia, especially if they have that paranoid personality disorder we've been talking about. You know, it usually takes a Christian therapist who can help apply the Word of God to someone's life, to their places of wounding, to their negative thoughts. It takes time to undo negative patterns and negative thinking. We've had a lot of shows where we've talked about that.
Right.
All of us get our strength and courage from reading the Bible and correcting our thoughts by using God's Word. And that's what we have to do, Chris. We have to use the Bible to correct our thinking and our thoughts. Whether you're paranoid or not paranoid, that is going to be so important. For example, the verse that talks about keeping yourself in perfect peace, what does it say? It says you have to keep your mind stayed on God. So if you're struggling with paranoia and you're trying to get out of that paranoid place, then putting your mind on God and in His Word is going to be one of the main things that's going to help. So while there are lots of challenges about this, we're going to learn to trust in Jesus. That's probably going to be the most healing thing of all. And as we learn to trust in God, we can then try to trust a few other people. And we grow in our faith. We apply the Scriptures to our lives. Hopefully what will happen is we'll see more of that fruit of the Spirit. So if you're someone who is struggling with paranoia, or you know someone who does, don't give up on God or on other people. You can learn to trust and eventually get closer to those people who are just so important in your life. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer post-producer, Chris Weigel, who is also my co-host and makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.